Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Ultimately, I'm going to keep saying it. Get 1% better every day. Just get a little bit better every day.
Hey, welcome back. It's Stephen Holder here with Zach Kiefer. We are back for our latest episode of 1% Better, and we are a little bit closer to the NFL season. I mean, for us, it's here, Zach. I mean, I don't know about you, but summer's over.
Yeah. Hey, we got one more day. We got one more day.
I hope you're getting your last swings in out there on the course, because we're there. So yeah, I mean, this is kind of like not your problem, the listener, but like our lives kind of get topsy turvy when football gets here, just because, you know, we get back to a really structured lifestyle where in the off season you kind of have a little more control, right? So now you're basically handing over your fate to the team that you cover, and in our case, that's the Colts. So, but it's all good, because I'm tired of talking about it, honestly. So, players, they report on Tuesday. Practice begins, I believe, on Wednesday. So, you know, this thing is going to get ratcheted up really, really quickly. We'll hear from Chris Ballard on Monday. We'll hear from Coach Frank Reich and players on Tuesday, and Wednesday, the whistle's going to blow. And these guys are going to get to it. So it's been a long time coming. Zach, let's start with some thoughts, I think, from each of us on where do you think, or what do you think, when you look at this team, it's largely the same as last year with some obviously, you know, big changes, but mostly the same. What do you think is the biggest question facing this team right now as they head into 2021, high hopes, high expectations, but what's the biggest question, do you think?
Yeah, for me, this is easy. The whole season, the biggest storyline to start next week, and then, you know, really what's going to determine how far they go in the playoffs, if they make it, or why they don't make the playoffs, it comes down to one guy. It's going to be Carson Wentz, and whether he can acclimate himself and Frank Reich's offense around the talent that he has surrounding him. We're talking a really good offensive line, a lot of talent at the wide receiver position if they stay healthy. One of the up-and-coming running backs in the league in Jonathan Taylor, and a pretty solid defense that took some strides last year that kind of climbed to the top 10, right? And maybe they can take another step this year. But for me, it's going to be number two. It's going to be Carson Wentz. Is it going to be – does this team get back to how they were playing at the end of 2018 when they had a really potent run game, a quarterback who could move around in the pocket, and then take the deep shots that they like to take? Frank Reich wants to be aggressive, put his foot on the gas. And they haven't been able to really do that the last 2 years. They didn't do it with Jacoby in 2019. And Rivers had such a different feel. And Rivers was all anticipation and accuracy, elite accuracy on the middle of the field. But they didn't have the big plays. They had two plays of 50 yards or more last year. That's a number that bothers Frank. He wants more of that. And then from what we saw from Carson in May, and this isn't real football, so it's a, you know, it's just a taste, but every receiver we talked to said, look, this guy can throw it. Like, his deep ball, his arm strength stood out to them. They haven't had that kind of arm back there since 2018. So for me, the guy I'm watching on day one next week is going to be Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think total agreement there. Just for the sake of variation, I'll say the other big question, and it's something you just kind of touched on a little bit, I think the other big question is, can this defense be elite? Because if it can, and I think it has the ingredients, or some of them, if it can be elite, that's a game changer. Because I think there were times last season where I thought there were some games where the offense was a little bit hit and miss, right? I mean, I think the offense was a little more up and down last year than the defense was. They were getting consistent performances, for the most part, from their defense. Pass rush wasn't good, never was, and hasn't been for quite some time. But be that as it may, I thought the defense was something they could kind of set their watch to. You know, they weren't going to just fall apart for the most part. And now the question is, what's the next step and can they take it? Are they ready for that next step? Because if they are, then I think, you know, based upon whatever they get from their offense, now you might be cooking with some gas. And I think they have a chance to maybe compete with the elite teams in the league. But I think that defense is the unit that we know more about and the unit that I think they'll get more consistency from. I like their talent on offense. I think people underrate their pieces on offense. But that defense, I think, can be special. That's the difference. And the question is, can they get to quarterbacks? Because if they can't, then I don't think you can get to special. I don't think you can be elite. You can't be an elite defense and let quarterbacks, you know, have a sandwich in the pocket. That's not going to happen. So they have to find a way. And we know the story. We talked, you know, ad nauseum about Kwity Paye and some of the other young guys who are going to play a role in that. And we'll just have to see. But if they can take the next step defensively, I like the Colts' chances most Sundays. And I think they're going to have a chance to win a lot of games. And that, I think, is going to be a big, you know, variable in where they go this season. So we'll see.
Can they do that? Can they do that next step without DeNico Autry and without Justin Houston? Because I agree completely with your point that what do the elite defenses do? They don't just prevent teams from scoring. They get to the quarterback, they create turnovers. The Colts have so many different dynamic pieces on offense, but you could argue that the most important piece to any defense right now in the league is going to have to be the ability to get to the quarterback. And without Autry and without Houston, it's going to be a lot tougher. That's going to be fascinating. Now, Buckner can get there. Grover Stewart can take up a lot of space. Let's not overlook those guys. Kwity Paye is going to probably step in at right defensive end and start from day one. I like Toure if he's back, but we don't know yet. Yeah. I'm with you, but I think that's how you go from 10 to 5 or 10 to 2 or 10 to 3 is getting after those quarterbacks. And look at the quarterbacks they're playing this year. They're going to see Lamar Jackson. They're going to see guys that can move around like you always do in this league in this day and age. So that's going to be tough. But, you know, I was writing a little bit this morning on things I'm looking forward to the most, and it's really seeing how that pass rush evolves. Maybe Kwity Paye is ready to go from day one, but there's a lot unproven in that department.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in terms of Kwity Paye and what he brings, he's got a lot of juice, and I don't think they have a guy like that. They haven't at least had a guy like that in recent years that I can see. Kamoko Touré is the closest thing. It's just that his injury has been obviously an obstacle, so it's hard to kind of rubber stamp that. As you said, we don't even know where he is physically. We think he's back, but you know, for all we know, the guy could be on PUP. Who knows, right? I mean, so we'll see. But I do think they have some pieces, and it will just be a matter of how it all comes together. But to circle back to your original point, it does all come down to Carson Wentz. There is no question, and I think that you are going to see a lot of attention on the Colts this preseason, during training camp and this preseason, from national media, and it will largely, almost exclusively, be focused on Carson Wentz. And it should be, because he's a huge story. He's an absolute huge story in the NFL this year. Everyone loves a comeback story, or in some cases, we love to write about failure too, right? So either way, he's a story, right?
And, yeah, for sure.
And I just think it's going to be fascinating. I will tell you something. I want to share something. If you haven't read the story that I posted today, which is just, you know, me rambling on about predictions for the season, there are a few stats in there that I think are interesting and worth repeating. One of the things, look, I'm not here to tell anybody that, like, Phillip Rivers is inferior to Carson Wentz. No, I am not saying that. That's ridiculous. The guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But there clearly are some areas where Carson Wentz is superior, or at least has a skill set that fits better.
And I think Phillip Rivers would agree, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, he knows.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I go back to him saying last year, you know, talking about a couple of throws that Jacob Eason made that he can't make, right? So Phillip has always been very honest about what he can and can't do. And so, yeah, he would take no offense to this. One of the things, and I didn't know this, I didn't appreciate this until I ran the numbers, but Carson Wentz has been big time in the red zone during his career. And that, I think, is huge, because that's where things got a little dicey for the Colts last year, in part because of Phillip Rivers. I think their options were limited. You don't have a mobile quarterback. I think that's where you want to move the quarterback around, throw on the run. You have the pass run option there with your quarterback. That's always huge. You know, we see teams like the Chiefs really take advantage of that, right? Because they have a quarterback who can throw on the run and do things like that. And so the Colts have that now. So
yeah,
Carson Wentz in his career, this is pretty interesting. He has, in the red zone, he has a passer rating of 99.6. That is significantly higher than his career passer rating overall, which is 89.2. You know, that's just below a guy like Deshaun Watson, who's at 100, and Mahomes as well at 100 in the red zone. So he's keeping good company there. And I think a lot of that boils down to his mobility. I just think we've talked about this time and time again. I just think his mobility, his athleticism, coupled with Frank Reich and his creativity, I think that is a match made in heaven, and it's just up to Carson Wentz to not screw it up. So, am I crazy?
No, I can tell you for a fact that Frank and his offensive staff, led with Marcus Brady, the new OC, they have had a lot of fun not reinventing their offense, but kind of reshuffling it, right? Picking out plays that are going to work for him. And your point about his athletic ability in the red zones is interesting. I hadn't really thought about that specifically, but if you think about it, let's think about the best offenses in the league. You got Mahomes and you got Rodgers. Even going back to the playoff game last year, what did Josh Allen do on the 5-yard line, right? When the play broke down, he made something happen with his legs at first. Colts didn't have that last year, and they're going to have that with Wentz this year. It's stunning how much more athletic than he is than Phillip Rivers. No knock on Rivers, but the dude was playing with a busted toe the last half of the season. He couldn't move. You remember the attempted tackle against the Ravens last year, right? And he fell on his ass and he didn't even hit anybody. And it's going to change the game. It's going to change the game. And so the other night I was flipping through the channels and NFL Network was showing an Eagles-Niners game from last year. And I had gone through and watched most of Wentz's tape in the spring when they signed him. But I just was like, I'm going to watch a couple plays and just see what we got. And the first play, it's a 3rd-and-1. Eagles have the ball. Their left guard jumps offside. So it's a 3rd-and-6. And you should have seen how far Wentz was behind the line of scrimmage. So he takes the shotgun snap. He backs up, 3-step drop. He's 15, 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage within a matter of seconds because there's 3 pass rushers in his face. Now, I know this is taking it in a vacuum and it's a very small sample size, but that dude didn't have a chance.
Yeah.
And I'm not excusing how poor he played last year. He played terrible at times. There was some awful decision making. And there's some bad throws, and just everything was bad. But it's amazing how quickly things can change when a quarterback starts to get confidence. And this is one of the things Ballard talked about on our podcast a month ago. Like, the best coaches put their players in the best position to succeed. It sounds so simple. It's what Bill Belichick's been doing forever. But I really think Frank is going to get through to Carson that you just have to let the game come to you. We have so much talent and so many good players around you that this is going to be a scheme that helps you just start to play better, you know, almost de facto, right? Like, you're just going to play better because of everyone around you. You're going to have more time to throw. I mean, these are pretty jarring numbers. I mean, I looked this up. Wentz was pressured on 42% of his 3-step drops last year. 42%. Wow. That's 1 out of every 2. Rivers was pressured 23% of the time. That's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. And then you add in the fact that, like you mentioned, the athletic ability, the ability to move around the pocket and still make those throws, which Wentz has been doing since he got in the league. I'm excited. I'm actually more excited to watch this camp for a lot of reasons than I have been in a couple of years. One, we're back in Westfield with fans. That just changes it. It's just better. It just feels like football. And two, I'm going to be watching the quarterback to see what he can do that we haven't seen a Colts quarterback do in a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. And it's also, I think that anticipation, I agree with it, first of all. And I think it's also because we know this team, and we know this team is pretty good. They have an opportunity. I am not here to predict that they're going to contend for a Super Bowl necessarily. No, I'm not saying that. I mean, the AFC is stacked. Okay. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
However, I think this leads me to what I think is another point I want us to bat around. And it's this, you know, where should the bar for this team be? Because I think fans out there, fans are always impatient. Fan is short for fanatic, right? So you guys are crazy. Own it, okay? You're crazy.
That's what makes it fun.
Right, exactly. It's why you're listening to us right now, right? So you're crazy, okay? And it's what makes you who you are. So you're not exactly patient, nor should you necessarily be patient. And that means you care. So, all right, Andrew Luck's retired. We know the story, last couple of years, searching for that quarterback. Do they have that quarterback? We'll see. But here's the bottom line. People don't want to hear, we'll see what happens, back into the playoffs, a little wild card. People really, they don't want to hear it, you know? And I get it. And I don't think that's necessarily a failure, but I also understand that they have been building something here, and the bar should be high. So let's talk about that. Where should the bar be placed, and where should it be? I tell you my thought first, and you can go next. I think division championship. That's the bar. They got to win the division, and they can't go in and be one and done. I think they got to win the division. They got to win a playoff game. What do you think?
If you move away from like they need to win X amount of games and get to this round of the playoffs, I think they need to do this. I think they need to establish themselves as one of the teams in the AFC, as the upper class of the AFC. Mm-hmm. There's a couple teams that are already in there. We know Kansas City's in there. I'm putting Buffalo in there. I think Baltimore has a say. And maybe I think Cleveland's in the same neighborhood as the Colts and Tennessee, right? Yeah. I think the Colts need to graduate to that tier. And by that, I mean – yeah, you're going to have to win a playoff game, which you haven't done in a couple years. You're going to have to win the division very likely and host a playoff game for the first time since 2014. I mean, think about how long that was. Hmm. That was my first year on the beat, I think.
That's insane.
And thirdly, if you do all of that, that means you're only going to keep climbing, because that means everything worked out with Carson Wentz. That means you've got your quarterback thing figured out for the next 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years, whatever it ends up being. We don't have to ask Ballard those questions on January 2nd. Well, what are you going to do with quarterback? Is it going to be Jacoby? Is it going to be Rivers? Is he going to retire? That's the biggest headache this team's had hovering over this franchise since August 24th of 2019, the night Luck retired. And when you solve that, everything else flows from there. Then you can start to re-sign these guys and know that your quarterback's going to be there. Then you can start to attack the left tackle position long term. But, you know, I think that's what they should think. And I know – if we ask Frank Reich this on Tuesday, he's going to say we need to win the division.
Sure.
It bothers him that they haven't. They've been really close, and last year was like that fluky tiebreaker. But, you know, don't go down to Jacksonville in week one and lose. So, yeah. You know, all they had to do was finish the game in Pittsburgh too, and they would have won the division. And who knows what would have happened. But that's the reality of it. And it's going to be really fun to see if the defense can take the next step, if Carson can settle in, if guys like Paris Campbell and Kwity Paye and all those guys can become factors. But you're right. I think this team needs to be playing in the middle of January. Whatever that looks like, we'll see. But they need to be one of the top teams in the AFC. I think that's the next step. This roster is good enough. It's time to do it when it counts.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I think you're right. I think that Frank Reich would agree. I don't think they certainly weren't happy with the way last year ended, right? But I do think I think you put it really well when you said it's less about, you know, how many games they win and where they finish, and more about are they set up? Because I think you're right about that. Because as I said earlier, this team, they have been building this roster. The roster's pretty good. And the single biggest question facing this team has been one single question for the last 2 years. It's quarterback, as you know. And the bottom line here is, if you come out of this season with – a viable answer to your quarterback question, that can be described as a success.
Yeah. because everything else means a lot of things are going to work because of that, right?
Right.
That's just going to give you a shot.
Right, right. So then all those other questions, they pale in comparison, okay? So, like, the questions like, do they have a number one receiver, right? I mean, all that stuff, you know, I wrote about it today. Is Michael Pittman going to step up and claim that role, right? Because I think he's the guy that has to do it. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But if you got the quarterback figured out, all that other stuff is like, you'll deal with that later. You know, they're not unimportant questions, but they pale, like I said, by comparison. So, you know, will they, for example, do they have the pass rush solved, right? Those are big questions, but all that stuff comes in at best second place to the most important question. So they come out of this knowing that they've got, how old is Carson? Like 28, I think.
Yeah, you know, 29 in the season or something.
Yeah. So if they come out of this knowing they've got a 29-year-old guy who can be their quarterback for a number of years to come, hell, you got to feel good about that, you know? And if that happens, if they come out of this season feeling confident about the future with Carson Wentz, that means the season probably went pretty well. Because if he plays well, I think they're going to be good. So you see how this works? So I really do think, as you said, and as everyone has noted, everything revolves around this guy. You know, it's funny because Carson is, he certainly gives the impression that, like, there's been this weight lifted off his shoulders, right? Like he's back with this guy, Frank Reich. He's got a fresh start and all that. However, let's not get it twisted. He has a significant amount of pressure because they got a lot of shit riding on this. Okay. They got a lot riding on this. So I think he'll handle it because it's a different sort of situation. But this, let's not make any bones about this. There is a significant amount of pressure here for Carson Wentz.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
So let's look into the crystal ball. How does this go? Like, I mean, can he do this? Can he be that guy? Will he be that guy?
That's the
easy question.
I get more than anything is is he going to be any good again? My answer comes down to one guy, and it's not even Carson. It's Reich. Mm-hmm. It's four quarterbacks in 4 years, and he's made each of them for particular stretches play as well as they probably ever played, or at least as well as they could have in that situation.
Right.
You know, Luck talked about how he'd never have as much fun playing football as he did with Reich in that 2018 season. Jacoby played pretty well for stretches before he got the knee. After the knee, he didn't play well. That's a fact. Rivers last year, I think, was probably played as well as he could probably have played given the situation, no training camp, no offseason, new team, injury, middle of the year. Frank's really good at sort of designing the offense to where it takes a lot of the burden off the quarterback. I think his play designs reflect that. And I like the receiving core more than probably a lot of people if Paris Campbell stays healthy. I think it'll be tough at first. You look at the first couple games, they're not easy. The first five, I mean, there's some good defenses in there. You've got Seattle, you've got the Rams, you've got Tennessee, you've got Miami, and you've got Baltimore. Those are good teams. Those are 10-win teams from last year. We'll see how good Carson Wentz is right away. I think we'll see right away. I think he'll start to hit his stride midseason. And if you look ahead, the players aren't allowed to look ahead, but we're allowed to look ahead. If you look at the back half of the schedule, it's the easiest in football based on last year's record. If this team can make it through the first part of the schedule with a decent record, they don't have to be great, and if they hit their stride midseason, and if a couple guys come back, namely Eric Fisher, and if Dio can come back and give him a little bit of a pass rush spark, maybe that's asking too much, maybe not.
Oh, but I think he plays. Fisher, I think he'll play, yeah.
Yeah, if he comes back late October, November, they could really hit their stride at that point in the season, which mirrors what they did in 18. I don't know if they're going to have to make a run to make the playoffs. We'll see how that all shakes out. But they could be a hot team playing their best football when it matters most. End of December. Remember, the regular season stretches into January now. They could be in a good shape, in a good position as we get to the playoffs. Again, it's going to come down to Carson and how he plays. I think it'll take some time. It took some time with Rivers, and think about how good and how smart he is. It's going to take some time for Carson to get comfortable. But the added benefit is he can make plays happen that Rivers couldn't. He could extend plays. He can improvise. He can do a lot of things that will just move the chains or score in the red zone when they need it. And that's going to be fun to watch. So I think we're going to get a good sense. How long do you think in training camp it's going to take for us to really get a good sense of where Carson's at? Like probably a week and a half, 2 weeks in, we're going to be like, okay, this is going to work, or this is still up in the air.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Like, you know, what's it going to look like? I think it may be a little up and down, you know, because I do think OTAs, or the lack of OTAs, I do think are a little bit detrimental here. I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think it's a factor. There's probably a reason they're scheduled to be in Westfield for like 4 weeks. What the heck is that, by the way? I might have to have new tires by the time this thing's over. But they've certainly extended training camp, and I don't think it matters. I think they'd be practicing no matter where they were. But I do think it's a recognition almost. It's almost like a mental thing. You know, it's like we got to hunker down. We got to get ready. And part of that is because they had like 9 days of work all offseason.
They've been off for 8 weeks. Yeah. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, not you tell a football coach he's got 8 or 9 days, you know, over a 6 month offseason, he'd probably punch you in the face, you know, if you had told him that a couple of years ago. I mean, that's like, you know, taking their firstborn kid, you know? So it's not a lot. They didn't get much done. So they do have a lot to figure out, you know? And while certainly they have been talking and theorizing, and Carson has been a part of those conversations, I'm sure. You know, what do you like? What don't you like? Watching a bunch of film, all of that, right? All those things have been happening. But, you know, until you actually get out there and you run it, and with the current teammates you have, right, you don't really know what it's going to look like and feel like. So I think it's going to be a process, and that's okay. They're still in a better situation than Rivers was in last year, because there was no preseason. It was really just, you know, hurry up and get to camp and just, you know, pray that we make it to the season. We're in a little better place now. There is a preseason as well. There's some joint practices. So I think we're going to get a better he'll have a better opportunity to be prepared, and the Colts will have a better look at him. So there's a little apples and oranges to compare last year's situation, which is a good thing because that was tough. That really was tough. And I think it was reflected in, you know, sort of the slow start they had on offense. So we'll have to see that. But now let's not get it twisted. That opening slate is a murderer's row. Okay. So there won't be a whole lot of opportunity for fine tuning over the first five or six games because life will come at them very quickly to open the season. Now we have to touch on something that's not that fun. Okay. And if you live in the world right now, we're all dealing with it, right? And we all live in the world. So we all know that COVID is a factor. Look, I mean, we're all living our lives. I've, you know, took some trips this summer, had a good time. I just went to New York City, by the way. New York City was amazing. It was like, what, COVID? What COVID? I mean, everything was open and it was amazing. And it was just amazing to see New York in that state.
Heck, even the scene in Milwaukee this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside the arena before and after the game. I mean, just wow. It's just jarring to see that.
Yeah.
After the last 18, 20 months we've lived through.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. It was tough on all of us. And, you know, I think we're all just in a better place mentally and just, you know, everything. But anyhow, that being said, you know, we can't pretend this thing's over. We got variants going on. And the NFL is taking that approach. Here, so hot off the presses, as we're recording this, there's a report out here. The NFL sent a memo to teams today saying that if a game cannot be rescheduled, if, you know, for COVID, because of COVID infections among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and will be credited with a loss for playoff seeding. So that's a massive, massive change in approach from last year. Because last year, the league took the approach, you don't have any control over this, right? You know, it's going to happen. It is what it is. We're doing our best. Well, they're not taking that approach because vaccines are available now. And they can't make that vaccine mandatory for players. But they can sure as hell make it really hard for you to conduct the football season if you're unvaccinated. So I say all that because I know everyone knows where I'm going with this. The Colts consistently have been reported to be one of the teams with one of the lowest vaccination rates in the league. We haven't gotten a lot of intel on this, right, Zach? Because as you can imagine, like, you know, why would Chris Bowyer want to talk about this? He's going to have to talk about it on Monday, by the way. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know specifics about where they are. There was a report this week that they are still under 50% fully vaccinated. Whether that means a bunch of guys are waiting for their second dose, I don't know. That could be. Because I do think we did get that impression from Ballard a few weeks ago that there were a bunch of guys rushing out to get their vaccines in recent weeks. And maybe they're not there yet. I don't know. But that being said, I mean, don't we have to assume this will be some measure of an issue for the Colts if unless they get significant or see a significant increase in their numbers? I mean, I don't care where you stand on the virus, the vaccine. I don't give a shit. It doesn't even matter, right? I don't care. That's not the point. If you care about the Colts, you better be paying attention.
Care about this team having its best chance to do something in January, then you have to care about this. And basically what I can say is they're not denying the fact. They've not just denying the reports that they're one of the lowest vaccinated teams in the
league. Right.
And we'll see. But this is even further. You said that, you know, teams could be penalized. You know, they go down in the playoff seedings. They could get, you know, forfeit a game. Pelissero has this report. If a game is canceled due to a COVID outbreak that cannot be rescheduled, get this. Neither team's players will be paid for that week. Neither team's.
Huh.
That's when it gets real, is when your paycheck gets involved. So to me, this is what the NFL is saying. Get vaccinated, otherwise you could cost your team in a big way. The NFL is saying we want to get this 17-game schedule in 18 weeks. And
mm-hmm.
There's no excuses for the players. They're just saying, basically, you're going to have to get vaccinated. And we can go through the details of all the different ways an unvaccinated player is going to have to go through these hoops to get on the field compared with a vaccinated player, right?
Right.
The testing, the protocols on the road, it's extensive. So the NFL is making it very loud and clear that if you're not going to, if you're not going to get vaccinated, and if you cost your team a game or the league a game in this sense, it's going to come out of your pocket too. And that's serious. And that's probably another word, you know, another way for the NFL to get these guys' attention. We'll see. We're going to have a lot of conversations on Monday and Tuesday with Coach Chris Ballard and the players. You know, where are you guys at? Whether they want to talk about it or not is obviously their choice. But in my opinion, right now, sitting here July 22nd, it's a very real factor in how this season goes, because you can't afford – I mean, I the only ammunition I need is bring up the Tennessee game last year.
Yeah.
DeNico Autry's out and Buckner's out, and you got beat by 20 points at home to a team that you had beaten by 20 points on the road a couple weeks earlier. So to me, this is a big deal. And if the Colts are one of the lowest vaccinated teams in the league, and I have heard that they are on the uptick, they are climbing, they are getting guys vaccinated as we speak, we'll see where they're at. But this absolutely needs to be discussed, and we're going to have to ask the questions next week.
So there's a couple of little details here that matter. As you said, I have heard the same thing, right? That they have gotten some additional guys vaccinated in recent weeks. The standard for the NFL is fully vaccinated. So if you're going to take a two dose vaccine, and I think, you know, there have been some questions maybe about, you know, the one dose vaccine, the others have seemed to be more reliable. So anyway, if you're going to take a two dose vaccine, you have to have both doses. And I believe the rule is you have to be 14 days past the second dose to be considered fully vaccinated. So
it's so a very high threshold. That's going to take some time.
Yes.
Right.
But if they do it now, they still have time before opening day. They're still in a good place where just about. They have just about enough time right now to get there by opening day if they proceed now. So I think that's why that's the timing here. I think that's why you're seeing that, because they know that this is around the time for the cutoff. You know, we've got about, what, 6 weeks or so to the season. So, you know, that gives you, you know, the month or so between doses, and then a couple weeks, you know, to get your 14-day clock running. So the big difference is I still believe it's daily testing for unvaccinated players. Look, there's enough COVID out there that the odds are decent that you're going to have some positives. Okay, it's just a fact. I mean, I looked this up yesterday. I think Marion County, where Indianapolis is around 50% fully vaccinated. I mean, like, so half the people out there have no protection. So,
you made another good point in your story that you said, like, look, like last year these guys were staying home.
Yeah,
they were being very, very cautious, and the Colts were pretty good at that. They didn't have a positive test until like what, 4 or 5 weeks into the season.
Right.
It's a different world right now, and we're enjoying that, right? We're all getting out, we're eating out, we're going out. It's not the same as last year when guys were staying home.
Yeah, and people aren't wearing masks, which I'm fine with, but I'm just saying, you know, those who aren't vaccinated, they're probably not wearing masks, because I don't see a lot of masks. So you don't have any real protection now is all I'm saying. And so the bottom line is, this is going to be a factor. Pay attention. And, you know, you may not want to talk about it. It's not fun. I don't want to talk about it, but it's going to be a factor. So hopefully this gets resolved. Let's talk about a couple of players who I think, I'll ask you what you think. Are there a couple of players, at least one or so, that are on the verge? Like, who's on the verge? And because I think that's a lot of times where you see the big gains that you make in the course of a season. Like, I'll give you an example. Like last season, Julian Blackman was a revelation. Like, what if that doesn't happen, right? Now, you know, you're scrambling to try to fill a hole. Malik Hooker gets hurt, and it's like, oh my God, you know, who's going to play safety? Julian Blackman comes in, and he's like, I got this, right? You have situations like that, you know, where you get some surprises, guys step in and just, you know, Kari Willis did it a couple years ago, right? It was like, whoa, where'd that guy come from? So I'm wondering who that player is this year. Like, it doesn't have to even be a rookie. I'm just wondering, you know, are there some guys like that? You know, because I think, again, we have all these known commodities, but then when you get some other guys who rise to the occasion, now that lifts everybody even more. And I think you have to have that, you know, if you're going to really make a run. You got to get some contributions from players that really you didn't have high expectations from. So I don't know. I have a thought, unless you have one first. I have a thought.
Who are you going with?
Well, I think it's Kyler Granson. And I wrote that on my story today. Okay. I mean, I believe you wrote about him, and I've certainly talked to people about him. I'll just tell you, I had a member of the coaching staff tell me, I'd say about a few weeks after the draft, absolutely giddy after the first couple of days of those practices they had. They were thrilled with this guy. Okay, thrilled. Now, I don't know what all that means, because I'm like, yeah, it's patty cake and shorts. So, like, what are you really saying? That being said, I mean, they can tell what kind of athlete this guy is. You know, they can tell, you know, what his football acumen is, you know, his football intelligence, and his hands, they felt were really reliable, which is something that was kind of a question, I guess, for some people going into the draft. So it's all projections, but they really are excited about this guy. And I think he's a guy who, you know, they were kind of excited about, you know, Trey Burton last year. And if you remember in training camp, right, remember all those balls he caught? And we're like, huh. But then it kind of got in the season.
Yeah,
and it's like,
he got hurt. Yeah, he got hurt in camp.
Yeah, it really, he didn't really set the world on fire. And I think they missed that, you know, for all of the drama surrounding Eric Ebron. Like, he was a difference maker, right?
Yeah.
You
know?
And I think you had to deal with a lot, but but certainly he made his plays, okay? Let's give him his credit. And I think that is a huge tool in Frank Reich's toolbox, to have a guy like that. They think this guy can play the Ebron role and do it more effectively than Trey Burton. They really believe that. So I'm interested. He's one of the guys I'll be watching for sure, because I think that he has a chance to be a real big matchup problem. He's like 6'4". Now he's going to get him matched up on safeties. He can run because he's a former wide receiver. So you're talking about an athletic big guy who can run matched up against strong safeties. I'm signing up for that. So or linebackers for that matter. So it'd be interesting.
I like that answer, because the door's open. Like, they need a wide tight end to step up. They've got Jack Doyle. They got Mo'Ali Cox. Talk about known commodities. You know what those guys are going to do.
Right.
Mo'Ali Cox has never really taken that next step in the passing game that a lot of us thought he would. And part of that is probably the coaching staff would blame on themselves. Part of that is injury. But the door's wide open for a speedy, athletic, mismatched tight end like Kylan Granson, who moves really well. Look at his college tape. To step into that role. And if he's for real at a very early stage, he's going to play a lot this year. They're going to use him. Frank's just going to throw him out there, and they're going to use him. To answer your question, you know, I think about, like, guys I'm most excited to watch. I love watching Jonathan Taylor just play football. But he's a big name, so I'll go somewhere else. I'm going to go to the D-line, and I think one question we need answered is, does Tyquan Lewis – take another step? Like, does he become for real this year? He had to take a step up last year just to keep his job. He kept his job. Does he go further? The other guy I'm really excited about is Toure. Toure can play. We've all seen that. If you go back to the early part of 2019, he was a legit pass rusher. He was a legit edge rusher. And he played great in that Kansas City game that he eventually got hurt in. It's been a year and a half, almost 2 years since then. But that spot's open. And I think he could take it, that next step, and really make that spot his. If you assume Pay is on the right, who's on the left? Is it Tyquan?
I think initially, probably.
I think right now it's Tyquan. But I think I like Toure's ceiling better. For sure.
I think you're right. I think Tyquan is a little more of a he's a little more of a versatile player, but I think Kamoko Toure is more of a pass rush specialist, or at least potentially, you know?
Which is exactly where the hole is.
Yeah,
right?
You got to go chase the quarterback. Yeah.
You need a hired gun. Yeah. You need Dwight Freeney in 2016 with Atlanta. He didn't do anything besides rush the passer. He didn't stop the run.
Right.
Didn't matter. That's all you need. You need that. And so I like those two. I like the Blackman example, because he just kind of came out of nowhere. Didn't even see him in camp last year.
Right.
you kind of think Zaire Franklin is the third linebacker right now, but I'm even hesitant to say that because mm-hmm. they don't even play base defense. You're comfortable with Okereke and Leonard in there, but for me, it's going to be fun. And you know, the position nobody really wants to talk about until Eric Fisher comes back is left tackle.
Right.
Who the hell is going to be the left tackle to start? And I'm not necessarily excited to see Will Holden and Julian Davenport and Sam Tevy fight for that spot. That one of them needs to fill that spot, and one of them needs to protect Carson Wentz's blindside. And that's really important for a quarterback that's coming into a new team with a new system. He needs to feel comfortable back there. They need to find some way to keep him comfortable on that backside. So we'll see. But it's going to be fun. I was kind of picking out the guys I'm most excited to watch. This might be a little bit of a surprise, but it's not just the starting quarterback, it's the backup quarterback.
Yeah, like I'm here for it.
Dude, I got some reports on Jacob Eason this summer. Like, he's turned 10% of his weight into muscle. He's throwing the ball better than ever. He worked with Adam Dedeau for 4 months. That's a long time. That's a long offseason.
That guy's a good quarterback coach, yeah.
Yeah, and his work speaks for itself with who he's worked with, including Carson Wentz. But I just want to see Eason play against a real NFL defense. I think everybody out there knows how well he can throw it, but how's he going to play against the Panthers in those practices and in the preseason game? How's he going to play against the Colts starters in practice? Like, mm-hmm. we haven't seen that at all. So it's going to be a fun camp. There's a lot of guys I'm excited to watch out there next week.
Yeah, and I'll throw one guy into the list of guys who – you know, can, I think, take another step. And he's already a known commodity, but I think he can even take it up higher. It's Okereke, Bobby Okereke at middle linebacker, where he's going to be a full-time player now. He largely was last year anyway, but Anthony Walker having departed now, it's his job. He's the middle linebacker, and I just think that he has that playmaking ability that you see from Darius Leonard. I think he has that same gene. I'm not saying he's as good a player. I'm just saying instinctiveness that you see from Leonard. Okereke has that. He gets his hands on more footballs than just about anybody on that defense. He doesn't always convert it into a turnover, but he gets his hands on the football, or he's around the football a lot too. So I just think he's got some potential for game-changing plays. And I think if you talk about this defense taking another step, he has to be one of the guys that I think lifts that unit and just can't be a constant. He has to elevate his game. And I think he can. I think that was a really, really good draft pick, which is why their defense is where it is. You know, they've drafted pretty well with the exception of their edge rush picks that have had some challenges. But they've drafted really well on defense. And
you talk about guys who made – you talk about Blackman making Malik Hooker's exit, you know.
A non-story. Not a
big deal. I mean, Anthony Walker, like that was pretty much decided, you know, and Okereke kind of took his job, and it's pretty clear that it's an upgrade. And we both love Anthony Walker. So,
yeah
that's a good one. He does have that. He has that playmaking ability. I don't think anybody has it quite as much as Darius, besides maybe Kenny Moore on defense. But
right.
But it's fun to watch Okereke because he's fast and he can move and he gets to the ball quickly.
Yeah, and he's good in coverage too. So, I mean, he's the full package. I think he can be definitely a real, you know, potential Pro Bowl type player down the line if he keeps growing. So we'll see if that happens. So lots of maybe, possibly, could be's. But that's what the NFL offseason is, folks. I don't
it's
have anything
July.
Else.
There
right?
you go.
What do you want, right? You want football, we're giving you football, right? So that's what we got. But, man, we're going to be busy, and I'm here for it. We've got training camp. We've got joint practices. We got Hall of Fame. We got preseason games. I mean, all of this is going to hit us here in the face in a matter of weeks. So just be ready. And I think we're going to learn a lot from this training camp. I just think having been so far away, you know, from really covering this team up close – for a long time, I think there's just so much opportunity to learn more that we missed last year, you know, and the team's different too, so there's always going to be new things. So that reinvigorates me a little bit, you know. I think no one wants to cover a team that's not interesting, and they're certainly interesting. There's no question about that. So
it'll be nice to stand on the sideline during practice in camp this year, as opposed to about 40 or 50 yards back. And it's not the Colts' fault. It's just what it was, but it'll feel like training camp. And I know this sounds crazy, but I missed it. So let's get after it.
Well, yeah. Hope to see you. Some of you guys out there in Westfield, because you're invited. So, and I don't believe there'll be any restrictions on attendance. So, that will be nice. It'll be nice to hear that roar of the crowd. You know, when T.Y. Hilton makes a big catch down the field or what have you. So, you know, that has been. We've missed that as well, I guess is what I'm saying. So I'm looking forward to it, and it'll be here soon. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back, I guess, more regularly. Now, we're probably going to be on a weekly schedule here, I think, for the next few weeks. So and twice weekly when the season gets started. So you'll hear from us a lot, and we appreciate each of you. If you're not a subscriber, you know where to find us, theathletic.com. Lots of subscription specials for you. And now's the time, because you're going to get a ton of football coverage from all 32 teams. And I don't want you to miss that. So thank you for those of you who already are signed up. And I'm Stephen Holder with Zach Kiefer. And this is 1% Better.